last two verses of chapter 8 of Judges. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all of their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, and that is Gideon, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. One of the things I want to remind you of, and because I don't want to leave a note at the last on Gideon's life that he done so many bad things, I think he set some bad examples. But Gideon was used of God. Gideon was greatly used of God, and in fact, at the last there, he says that they didn't show kindness to the house of Gideon according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. He was used of God to do some wonderful things. And I think there's a principle there. Sometimes we'll see people's lives, and maybe at the end of it or somewhere in their life, maybe they've done something that's not been really what it should have been. You don't want to always take away the good that they've done, because there's not a person out here that's not going to fail to some degree. And we got to remember here in Gideon's life, I don't want to leave it that, you know, Gideon done so bad here at the end. Well, yeah, he done some things that wasn't the best, but Gideon done a whole lot of wonderful things, was used greatly of God. And so I think we need to keep that in remembrance, you know, because human beings are human beings. And thank God for those that God has used and given us a good standard to go by and live by. All right, now, what I want to do is I'm going to go over to the, and you hold your place there, but I'm going to go over to the book of Matthew, the 22nd chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to show you, if you noticed, it said, and I'll go back here, and it talks about the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God. Okay, you remember that's what it said there in verse 34. And then it goes on in verse 35, neither showed they kindness to the house of Gideon. I guess what I want to say is there's something that goes together there with our relationship with God and then our relationship with our neighbor or our relationship with other people. They didn't remember God, so that caused them to forget Gideon. I want to go back and I want to show you something in the book of Matthew and chapter 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I believe this is a very, very, very important portion of Scripture. He tells us to love the Lord our God. And I don't have time to go into all of this, but let me say to you, there is one thing that Jesus asked us to do. That is love him. Now, that's important, more important than I think we understand. He gives us a lot of commandments. We should do this or that. But I want you to remember something. Without loving Jesus Christ, we won't keep his commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What Jesus asks us to do is love him. And I believe, I'm going to just kind of share this with you. You go back to the story of the woman who came and anointed his feet, and in fact cleansed his feet with the tears in her eyes, and then took her hair and dried his feet and was crying. That took a lot of tears. And of course Jesus then said, she did that because she loves me more, because she's been forgiven more. And let me say this. The more we understand how much Jesus forgave us, will depend on how much we love him. And I want to say something. You better get a hold of this. One of the main reasons there's not a real love for Jesus Christ is because there's not a real understanding of what he did for us. I mean, he died for your sin. And I think sometimes we say he died for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving salvation. And never really putting it together that I mean he died, paid all the cost of every one of our sins, and then to realize in the eyes of God we're just as bad as any person on the face of this earth. Because we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the more we understand the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the more we'll love him. And love for Jesus is the secret of a life of obedience. See, I see it all the time. I don't know whether I'm making myself clear or not. I hope so, because I see it all the time. I see this thing and I hear this, and it just aggravates me to no end. Well, I don't see anything wrong with this. What does this hurt? What does this matter? Why don't you, once in a while, these people, why instead say, what's right with it? Now, I'll show you in just a little while here, but I'm saying to you and I, we're going to love Jesus as much as we understand how much he forgave us. And the more you understand how much he forgave you and I, the more the love for Jesus will grow. And that is the one thing. You go through the Bible and you say, what does Jesus really want of me? He wants me to love him. What did he ask Peter? What was the question he asked Peter? Did he say, Peter, have you been out preaching the gospel? Peter, have you been doing right? Have you been living right? No. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times. The one thing he wanted to know of Peter was, do you love me? You say, well, why? Because love for Jesus Christ will cause you to obey Jesus Christ. If you love me, keep my commandments. The two go together. Now, if you love me, love also your neighbor. That's what he says here in these scriptures. The two go together. You understand that? He said, on this hangs all the law of the prophets, of the law and prophets. Think about it. All the other commandments. Let me just use this one or as an example. Thou shalt not steal. Now listen to me. If you love God with all of your heart and your neighbor as yourself, would you steal from your neighbor? I don't believe you would. And you know what the answer, you know what the thing that'll cause that is? Love. Love for God and love for neighbor, you won't steal. Not because you're such a good person or I'm such a good person. It's because we love Jesus. And that'll change your whole life. It'll just change your life. See, and so I hear these that say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. It's the wrong question. Why don't you tell us what's right with it? Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you can get a hold of this wonderful truth about loving Jesus, that's what he asked for us to do. You love God with all of your heart. And you love your neighbor as yourself. How can you do that? Only if you love God with all of your heart. Okay? Is that help? I mean, honestly, this is not something getting on anybody. This is something that'll help you. It helps me. I want to love Jesus Christ more. Loving Jesus Christ is the answer to it. Because you see, and you say, well, brother, how can I love Jesus like that? Basically, you can't conjure that up. It's him loving through you. It's his love that he gives through you to love him. You can't conjure it up. I can't conjure up a love for my neighbor like he's talking about here as myself. The only thing I could do is love my neighbor, let Jesus love my neighbor through me. Understand? Because you and I, we're just old sinners saved by grace. We need the wonderful love of God in our life. And so, I'm trying to just say to you, if we'll just learn to love Jesus Christ, it'll take care of all these other areas of our life. It'll take care of it. Okay? So hopefully, maybe that'll help just a little bit. Now, going back to the book of Judges, the 9th chapter, and I want to read the first 6 verses. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and communed with them. You see, he was the son of the concubine, and this is his mother's people. And so he says in the middle of verse 9, and commune with them and with all the family of the house of his mother's father, saying, speak, I pray you, in the ear of all the men of Shechem, whether it is better for you either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are 70 persons, reign over you, or that one reign over you. Remember also that I am your bone and your flesh. And his mother's brethren spake of him in the ear of all the men of Shechem all these words, and their hearts inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, he is our brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Baal-berith, wherewith Abimelech hired vain and light persons which followed him. And he went unto his father's house at Ophrah, and slew his brethren, the sons of Jerubbaal, being 70 persons, upon one stone. Notwithstanding, yet Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together, and all the house of Milo, and went and made Abimelech king by the plain of the pillar that was in Shechem. That kind of gives a quick story of what happened here. It says he slew 70 on one stone. I personally believe they did slay 70. I think there was one that got killed, wasn't a brother. They thought he had them all, and the youngest got away. We know that. We know that is true. And then you'll notice something. It said they came and made Abimelech king. Now, here's a principle that I want to share with you. They decided that Abimelech was going to be their king, their leader. They made that decision. Okay? Let me say something to you and I. We make a decision who is going to be our king. We decide, every single one of us individually, decide who is going to rule our life. Who is going to sit on the throne of our heart as president, not just resident. Who is going to determine what we do, what direction we go in life. We will choose that. We will decide that. Every single individual will make that decision. Now let me show you something. We're going to go over to the book of Galatians, if you will please. The book of Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians, 5th chapter. I want to start reading in verse 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then he lists all the works of the flesh. Let me read those real quickly. He says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And what he's saying here is, because you could read down through that list and you can say, well, Brother Ross, just about everybody's committed something there, and we would have to say that's true. That's why we need forgiveness. That's why we need cleansing. But he's talking about a people who make that their life. That's what they do. That's the way they live. And he said they will not inherit the kingdom of God. The reason is because they've never come to Christ. They've never been born again. They're doing those things because they're not saved. I'm not talking about they've committed something and then can get forgiven. I'm talking about it's a way of life for them. And then he gives us the fruit of the Spirit in is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That is not something you and I conjure up and cause to happen in our life. It's something that comes naturally because the Holy Spirit of God is in us. And God will develop that in us. If we are a Christian, those fruits will be developed in us. It's just like an apple tree. You go out and you pick an apple off of an apple tree. Why? Because it's an apple tree. You get a peach off of a peach tree. Why? Because it's a peach tree. And you get these fruits of the Spirit out of someone who has the Spirit of God in them. They're born again. They've been born again, and God, the Holy Spirit, lives in them, and he begins to develop these fruits in us. Okay? And that's important, because we've got to go back and see who is going to rule our life. Who's going to be the king that rules our life? Is it going to be flesh, or is it going to be the Spirit of God? And let me say to you, Christians make that determination. Are you going to let the flesh rule you and tell you what to do, or are you going to be ruled by the Lord and he's going to be king? And every one of us makes that determination. Okay? You've got to get a hold of this thing, because you and I make a determination. Is God going to be the ruler of our life? I mean our everyday life. Is he going to rule, or is flesh going to rule? And so because of that, we all make a decision. We all decide, okay, one way or another. And we need to determine. We need to determine that Jesus Christ is going to be king. That he is one going to be the one, and I don't have time to turn to any more scripture because of our time up there, but maybe we can pick it up next week. But it is so important that you understand a choice will be made. What is your life going to be like? Who are you going to mind? Who am I going to mind? And I will make that choice. Amen. Is it going to be the old flesh? That's what I'm saying when I was saying about these people who say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with this. Well, what do you mean you don't see nothing wrong with this? The Bible teaches us that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we should do to the glory of God. So the question should be, what we're about to do, does it bring glory to God? That should not be the question. I don't see nothing wrong with it. Does it bring glory to God? Would God be glorified in it? You understand what I'm saying? See, that should be the question. Would God be honored and glorified if I do this Will it bring glory unto him? Will it not hinder the work of God whatsoever? Amen. And I think time's just about up. But we need to kind of follow up on that, and I hope you'll come next week, and we will. But just take home with you what I've said this morning, okay? And think about it. Don't you think each one of us, if we just got up tomorrow morning or even the rest of the day and said, Lord, everything that I'm about to do, I'm going to ask you if it would be all right and if it would bring glory to you. That would shut this tremendously. Well, yeah, it would. It'd put a zipper on it. Don't you think? Sure. Would that bring glory to God to what I'm about to say? And not only say, but do. Amen. All right. I've got to close. Father, I thank you again today for the truths of your word. And I ask you, Lord, to help us as a people to just look at these things and be helped by them. In Jesus' name.